Welcome to the Lucid Truth Podcast. This is your host, Isaac Lindenberger. Today, I have something a bit different from usual. I called into the Atheist Experience show, hosted by Matt Dillahunty, and got through as the first caller on last week's episode, saying I had evidence for the supernatural as supported by the psychedelic DMT, or dimethyltryptamine. If you listen to this show, The Lucid Truth, not The Atheist Experience, you'll know this is one of my favorite topics. Anyhow, Matt and his co-host Jim did not enjoy the conversation as much as I did, and while they did give me some things to think about, I remain undeterred in my experimental adventure. Enjoy!
To go with Isaac in Ohio, who wants to talk about supernatural related to DMT. Okay, so Isaac.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Doing good.
Good.
Okay, so let's just get right into it. So I think the consistencies between different DMT experiences specifically show evidence that they could bring you to an objective dimension. So, like, you take three aliens and put them on different parts of the Earth, even though those are different places, they'll know it was the same place. One moon, one sun, bunch of humans. And that seems to be the case with DMT experiences as well.
So given that people before, so just going to something similar, where before Close Encounters of the Third Kind, we had some very interesting descriptions of people who had encountered aliens. And then after Close Encounters of the Third Kind, we have a bunch of people who have the exact same experience with aliens. So, and that's simply because of the cultural reference of the movie Close Encounters depicting aliens in a particular way. So how do you eliminate just social norms, so to speak, or social expectations influencing how people are experiencing DMT?
That's a great question, and I think it's because it's not just consistent within DMT experiences, and this is key. You can make the argument that, oh, if people are experiencing the same thing on DMT, it's just due to the same brain mechanisms. You know, a weed high gets you a weed high. It doesn't mean weed is an objective dimension, right? But DMT and near-death experiences are highly correlated. And a lot of people say DMT causes near-death experiences, but that's not actually true. It's caused by different brain mechanisms, like glutamate reuptake and things like that. So DMT doesn't play a role in near-death experiences. So different brain mechanisms are leading to roughly the same subjective experience.
What you're describing is people took a drug which alters their perception, and you think that there's good reason to think that this ties to some sort of objective dimension.
Yes, and I actually have a scientific theory to test.
No, you fucking don't. You don't have a theory. I bet you have a hypothesis. But I bet you don't have a scientific theory.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Here's the thing.
Theory in the colloquial sense.
Here's the thing. The fact that a bunch of people experience something similar when doing something similar, don't you think that the common feature right there is those individuals and the human brain and the fact that we are similar creatures with similar brains that try to solve problems in similar ways and have similar experiences just in general?
That would be true if it was just DMT, but DMT and near-death experiences can lead to the same state, and those are caused by different brain mechanisms.
No. So this thing that you're pointing to, you're saying DMT can cause the same thing as a near-death experience state. There is no such thing as a near-death experience state. What happens is someone has an experience where their brain is deprived of oxygen and they go where it's closer and closer to death. And then at some point they regain consciousness and then their brain fills in the gaps and describes what happens.
Okay. Well, do you want to hear the hypothesis for testing this? Because we could talk about abstract ideas all we want.
Wow. How confused. This is so confusing. If you ask me, would I like to hear your hypothesis? My answer is no, because what you started with is you believe that this could bring you to some sort of objective dimension. Well, when you're able to demonstrate that it does in fact do that, then I'm interested. But what you said was, do I want to hear your hypothesis for testing? That's so bizarre. just describe how you would test this.
Okay, so here's how you would test this. So there's these things called autonomous entities in the DMT realm that sometimes, like Terrence McKenna will call them machine elves, and they seem to have their own independent consciousness.
Okay, hold on. Stop. How do you know they actually exist and aren't figments of your imagination?
We don't know that until we scientifically test it, and here's how you could test it.
Hang on. Okay. You started by calling them autonomous entities. How do you know they're autonomous entities at all?
So the reason why it's worth considering that they could be autonomous entities is
that's not what I not what I asked. You said they were autonomous entities. You didn't say they could be autonomous entities. See, every time we dig in a little bit more, what we get to is a bunch of people took a drug and they reported certain experiences. And you, instead of honestly and accurately reporting those experiences as reports of entities that might be autonomous entities in a realm that could be an objective realm, instead you reported them as there are autonomous entities. So you're already utterly dishonest in how you're describing all of this before we even get to the test.
My apologies, Matt. I definitely should have been more clear that this is not concrete and they could exist, but they also could be just your imagination and drug induced.
Here's the thing. You don't know that they could exist. You just said they could exist. The possibility that X can exist needs to be demonstrated. It's not just the case that, oh, this is necessarily possible. You have to demonstrate that it's possible, and you can't even do that.
Yes. Well, that's what I wanted to propose to you is how you could test this. So,
that's different.
They're autonomous?
No, that's different. You just said it's possible. How did you demonstrate that it's possible that there are autonomous entities that are in touch with people while they're on DMT? How do you demonstrate that's even possible?
That is where the research experiment comes into play. So, could I tell you the way that you could test this?
How would you test something that could exist entirely in someone's brain?
Okay, here's my idea. So if these entities are real, then we could be able to use them in this study. So you could send someone to the DMT hyperspace and tell them a number, like 23.
Send them to the what? Someone else. Send them to the what?
DMT hyperspace.
Whoa. What is a DMT hyperspace? Because that sounds like a real thing that we should be able to like walk into, fly a ship into, or do something to.
Yeah.
So how do you prove that even exists?
Yes, this is the idea. So
No. Which idea? Because we started with how do you prove autonomous entities? And then you said by going into the DMT hyperspace, and now I'm asking you to prove something like the DMT hyperspace. So we're going to put the conversation about autonomous entities on hold. And now you need to talk about DMT hyperspace, what it is, and how do we actually prove that exists?
I'm going to let you answer Jim's thing. I have one side question. What's the problem with just saying you like, what's the problem with you just saying you like to fucking get high?
Well, I'm fine with saying that as well.
Then why would you bother saying more? What is this obsession that DMT fucking advocates have for saying, oh, this could be this realm and maybe there's some way to demonstrate it. Why can't you just say you like getting high instead of saying, pretending like you're finding some alternate dimension with it?
I definitely think that's a fair point, but I think it's worth exploring because that's, you know, it could be true. So
fine. Explore it. Explore it. But all right, I'm gonna let you answer the question, Isaac, I promise. Do you have any scientific expertise in test methodologies regarding brain function?
Actually, no, I'm trained in social psychology, so it's a little bit of a different field.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
So this is kind of
you need to explain and prove that this thing called DMT hyperspace, what it is and how do we prove that exists?
Okay, so if you prove the entities exist, you would prove the hyperspace exists. And here's how you would kill two of those.
There are two separate things that you have to prove independently.
Okay, fair enough. But just think about this proposition and tell me what you think about it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so send someone to the DMT hyperspace. So give them enough DMT to where they feel like they're in this hyperspace. And give them a number like 23. And have them tell the beings that, then send someone else and ask what the number was. And if they could prove with statistical significance that they got the same number.
All right. So hold on. Feel like they're in DMT. That's not objective. Right.
If they got the same number, it would be.
Well, I'm not going to be impressed by somebody. I'm not going to be impressed by somebody getting 23, but you have a test methodology. Oh my God. You do have a test methodology there where if one person gets high and thinks they're communicating with this entity, whether the DMT hyperspace exists, whether the entities exist, whatever, one person gets high, they communicate with these entities and they tell them this number. Let's just go with a 10 digit number. And then you're saying somebody else gets high and goes in and talks to the entities and the entities tell them that number.
Yes.
Yeah. What are your safeguards to make sure that there's not any cheating going on?
That would be part of the study design, separate the people, double blind research. And then I would want the study, if it worked, to be repeated by other scientists and show the same results.
Sure. But you didn't list a single safeguard. You didn't list a single safeguard. You just listed buzzwords. You want it to be double blind. You want it to be repeated. Cool. What are the safeguards that the two people in question haven't communicated some other way on what the number is?
Right.
Maybe you could separate them geographically so they couldn't contact each other and cheat. And you could like watch them to make sure that they weren't like on their phones cheating or something like
sure,
that.
Sure. There's definitely.
Yeah. And I actually have a slightly different objection than Matt does, because I think that you could probably design enough safeguards if you were an expert in doing these types of tests. But let's say you put all the safeguards in place and the test works. How does that prove anything other than two people got the same number, the same 10-digit number?
Yeah. And you do that through what Isaac had suggested, which is repetition. Now, here's the question.
No. Even with repetition, let's say that you do that. How does that prove autonomous entities in DMT hyperspace?
It doesn't. What it proves is that people on drugs are somehow able to communicate independent of any normal.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was headed. But I kind of wanted Isaac to answer that one.
I'm sorry. So the thing, Isaac, is if, and this is going to floor you. Are you high right now? Because this might knock you over.
I wish I was.
Okay. So it's a good thing you're not high. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Matt.
Let's assume those autonomous entities exist and they're able to communicate a 10-digit number to someone, right? That's what your test relies on.
Yeah.
Why hasn't this fucking happened already? And why haven't they just said, hi, we're autonomous entities. Here's how you can demonstrate we're real.
I don't know why somebody hasn't done this yet. Maybe it's because psychedelic research is hard.
No. I didn't say anything about doing this test. If people are communicating with autonomous entities, why can't the autonomous entities, why haven't they already given us information useful to confirming their existence? Why is it just a bunch of people who are high who think they're engaging with autonomous entities and they produce nothing of use?
That's a good question. And honestly, Matt, I don't think I have a great answer. I think
nobody does. That's the other thing, is that even if these people are right about a DMT hyperspace with autonomous entities, they're fucking useless. They're not doing anything for us. Are they? Right. Do they just exist in this alternate dimension to be the dancing jesters for the people who are high? Come on now. This whole thing falls prey to the simplest. It's the same way as that. The reason we can be pretty confident that there are no gods is from the argument from divine hiddenness. The notion that people have about gods isn't compatible with what we understand about reality. Meanwhile, out of all the people who've taken DMT, who've preached a sermon about DMT, people who've called the show about DMT, people who've called Sam Harris about DMT, all of these, and not one bit of information has ever come from any of them to confirm that there are these entities or that there is this hyperspace or anything about confirming it. It's all just, we all kind of feel like that's the case. Your test, if you would, and here's the thing, if you thought for a second that this would actually work or would be a useful test, why haven't you already done it? Why aren't you calling me with your results instead of saying, I think it may be possible and here's how you could test it? Because I don't give a fuck about it until there's actual data.
Yeah, because there's another problem with your entire test structure, and that is you're testing two things at the same time. And you have to get down to testing one thing. And then once you understand that one thing, you can start adding in more and more things to it to test the entire system. So the first thing you have to do is you have to get away from this. Somebody feels like they're in a DMT hyperspace. You need to be able to measure that and go, yeah, they are, or no, they're not. Then once you do that, then you need to figure out how to contact these autonomous entities and do it step by step. You're trying to prove too many things. And when you have three, four, five things in the mix, you can't definitively say that item one is the cause or item two is the cause. You could say items one through five contribute to the cause, but you don't know how much they contribute to the cause. So you have so much more work to do before you can even do it. And then do the work, publish your paper. I mean, that's the simplest thing.
Yeah, and stop calling into shows to say that you have evidence for the supernatural when you don't.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. I guess you guys have given me something to actually think about, because I don't want to just, you know, dig my heels in here. I was curious what you guys are going to say about this.
Even if you were right about you know, something going on within DMT's experience or people's experience on DMT, that doesn't mean it's supernatural. So you called in to say you had evidence for the supernatural related to DMT and that it was, I don't know, stronger than Jordan Peterson. I don't know what the hell that means. But congratulations, you got through
an argument.
Oh, well, okay. I've had plenty of experiences on hallucinogens. I haven't done DMT, but I have done hallucinogenics. And at no point did I think that I was in contact with some alternate realm or getting in, even when there was a super strawberry with a cape and a big S and a smile on its face flying around my head saying things to me, at no point did I go, you know what? Maybe when I'm high, I'm in contact with another dimension and there's probably some way I could prove that.
You know, that actually makes a lot of sense. Someone who came on my podcast, The Lucid Truth, said that he actually could make the entities disappear at will. So therefore, they were projections of the mind. So maybe they aren't real. I don't know. I was a lot more confident before I made this call, actually.
Maybe they aren't real. But here's the thing. If you list everything that's known about the thing that you're talking about that can be confirmed, what is it? Like, the only thing we have is a bunch of people on drugs are reporting similar experiences, but not identical. And your number test is great. I mean, I've done... Now, granted, as a magician, I could fake the results on this. This is one of the reasons why you get magicians involved in the testing. This is the type of thing that Project Alpha did, not necessarily on drugs, but the sort of thing where, you know, we're getting essentially a hidden image. We've also tested, by the way, the near-death experiences. And one of the things that has been done is you can take a piece of paper with a number on it and put it on top of the cabinets facing up so that if anybody floats up off the table, they would be able to see it. And yet... we don't have any results of people saying, oh yeah, when I floated up off the table, I noticed over here in big bold letters on the top of this was a sign that says, if you are astrally projecting, remember this number, 867-5309. That's never happened.
You know, I'm going to try to disprove this now in the spirit of science instead of proving it. And maybe I'll have more luck in my career as a scientist.
And that's the way science works, because skepticism is not about debunking. It's not about showing that something's false. It's about attempting to confirm and then either confirming it or failing to confirm. So when you say that you're going to go out and try and disprove it, you're not really still talking about what science does, because you now have this mission of, I'm going to prove this is false. Well, let's say you spend the rest of your life trying to prove it false and you keep failing to prove it false. Does that mean it's true?
No.
No. But if you keep trying to prove it true and you keep failing, that doesn't mean it's true, but the only way that you can make any headway is to actually confirm that this is actually a phenomenon. I know in my head I reversed that earlier, but I've corrected it since, and that what skepticism is doing is attempting to confirm and either confirming or failing to confirm. And so don't set out to try to prove it false. It's very rare that you're going to find something like this that you could prove is false. How would you ever show that there's not a mystical DMT realm with these autonomous entities? You know, you have an unfalsifiable proposition. How about you think about it, get high if you want to, and you know, if you're being responsible and legal in your area and blah blah blah, and then try to prove that it's real, or go on to other things that are more useful. Like, unless we have good reason to think that these entities in the DMT hyperspace are going to help us solve a problem with climate change, fuck them. They can call me back in 50 years.
You know, maybe I'll do some research into how psychedelics can help with mental illness.
That's great.
You give me a lot to think about on this, actually. And yeah, thanks for your ideas. I'm definitely thinking a little differently about this than I was before.
Great. Thanks, okay. Isaac.
All right, guys. All right. Have a good one. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you even say to that? What do you even say to that? Oh, my gosh. I hope you enjoyed that call as much as I did. It was certainly a fun time. The link to that episode and the clipped out version they posted is in the description of this podcast episode. The comments are hilarious. Also, they're very ambivalent. You may have noticed it's been a while since the last episode, which was The Psychedelic Shift with Heather Wade. I took some time to orient myself during my final semester of undergraduate college, even stepping away from some of my social media to, you know, get focused. Slowly but surely, we're getting back into the swing of things. You can find the Lucid Truth podcast on our website, thelucidtruth.com, or on Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube. You can support it by sharing it with your friends, donating on Patreon, or following us on your favorite podcatcher. As always, thank you for listening, and I hope to see you for the next episode of The Lucid Truth.